I say it, sometimes like your entrepreneurial journey is like the 90s Chumbawamba classic hit. I get knocked down, but I get up again, right?
Welcome to the 39ers Podcast, a podcast by Business SA. This podcast will dive deep into the people and businesses that drive the change in South Australia. The 39ers are a community of forward-thinking, high-achieving business leaders aged 40 and under, creating a think tank of ideas, inspiration and opportunity that will shape the future of South Australia and beyond. This show is a gateway to the captivating stories, the inspiring journeys and the insightful conversations with some of South Australia's best and brightest minds in business who are shaping our state. I'm Tim Lavis and I'm from Business SA. So today I'm extremely excited to have our guest on today, a generous person who gives time and energy to the not-for-profit sector. Our guest has created a footprint in Australia, New Zealand and the USA, servicing a diverse client list from around the world. This is someone who has changed the experience in marketing here in South Australia, a three-time HubSpot Impact Award winner, HubSpot certified marketer and SEO expert. Welcome founder and CEO of Refuel Creative, Ryan Jones.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to have you here, mate. Now, what's been going on with you of late? Tell us what's keeping you busy.
Do we have to worry about the spoilers of time here? Like, we've just finished the end of financial year.
Great.
I was lucky enough to head over to Bali on my entrepreneurs organization retreat right at the end of the financial year.
Yep.
My first time. I know you're a veteran.
Yes.
So it was really cool to be back overseas for the first time since COVID, explore that for a week and really just make some big plans from there.
And what was the weather like? Obviously a bit cold here in Adelaide at the moment. How was it there over in Bali?
Yeah, look, it wasn't great when I was messaging home and going, look, it's like 25, 30 degrees. Yeah, the pool was 30 degrees and my partner's going around, it's 14 here and raining and, you know, the gutters are overflowing. So wasn't well received.
That'll hey. So what about Refuel Creative? What's new in that world at the moment for you?
Yeah, so we just brought on some more staff. So we're very excited to bring on a new web developer. Anyone who's hiring developers in the current market knows that that's a bit of a challenge.
Yep.
But we're trying to build an environment where people want to work, and that's helping us stand out in the marketplace, which is good. We've got a new business development manager. So we're really just rounding the team out for like what we see as our next wave of growth.
Great. And so talking about growth, you've had a lot of growth over the years. Let's go back to the start of where you had this concept and brought it to market, and then where have you taking it?
Yeah, it was interesting because when I first did it, my partner and I had a lot of discussions around the risk that we were taking on, and my personal consulting had kind of grown to a point where I could leave my full-time job and start this. And when I started, I guess I didn't have a very strategic business plan in mind. It was like, I'm going to be doing this stuff.
Yep.
I'm going to be helping these businesses that have been coming to me for years. And as soon as I told people that I was starting the business, sort of the phone ran hot and I took on every piece of work that was coming my way because I didn't know when it would run out. And as a result, within a couple of months, we started hiring people. You know, initially we grew a team of freelancers. Then we started to grow a team of employees. And it seems really bizarre to be saying this like after everything that we've been through over the last couple of years. But back before COVID, there were these things called offices that people would occasionally go to.
Okay.
And you might be familiar with the concept, Tim.
Yeah, I've seen one.
Seen one?
Yeah, one.
So we were putting out job offers to people and they were going, well, I don't want to work from home. Like I don't understand this concept of working from home. I'll only take on a job. You're not a real business unless you've got an office. And so we opened an office and we actually found that was a really good catalyst for growth because it meant that more businesses in Adelaide in particular took us seriously. Like you're a grown-up business now. You've got a front door.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously that front door was shut for quite a bit of COVID. But I think it's kind of allowed us now that we're past that point to have this great kind of environment where it is very hybrid. Most of the team would be working from home probably 2-3 days a week.
Yep.
We have some set days of the week where we want everybody in the office just so we can see the humans and we can have lunch together and have drinks and that kind of thing. But yeah, so the business grew reasonably quickly through that period. And now I guess it's a period where, like, over the last 3 or 4 years in particular, it's like we know that the opportunity's there. We've validated the concept now, and the concept was as simple as trying to help people, really. Help people with their marketing and their technology was a bit more of what we did when we started. And so now it's about, okay, well, it's a very considered approach to go, this business can't rely on me. This business has to run independently of me. Otherwise, I've just created a job for myself.
Yep.
And so the more that we divorce the business from me almost, the better the client outcomes and the better the business runs while I'm not there.
That's fantastic. And so in regards to where are you? So, we said there was a footprint in Australia, New Zealand and the US. Whereabouts are you based in those overseas countries?
Yeah, so New Zealand, we don't have a physical office over there. We've just got clients over there.
Yep.
And majority of those clients are in Auckland. It's where a lot of the business takes place. And Auckland is something that's grown organically. Like, we've never made a considered effort to grow the business over there, but I knew people over there and that helped us grow that market. The US, on the other hand, we've got a business development rep in South Carolina, the heart of NASCAR country, if you're familiar. And so we've got clients that are all over the place. Well, one of our favorite clients over there, shouldn't have favorites, but...
We do. We know that.
One of our favourite clients over there moved from Maryland to Texas, and now they're running a giant operation out of Texas. We've got clients on the East and West Coast. So it's been awesome to work with businesses over there that, their version of high growth is different to ours. Their budgets are different to ours. So just opening up that market has just given us access to so much more data and so much more learning experiences for our team.
That's great. And it sounds like Refuel was built to be different and really born to innovate. A couple of statements that you've got on your website there and the way that you talk about it as well. How is Refuel being innovative?
So we kind of packaging the marketing with the technology was really where a lot of the innovation stemmed from. It was pretty, particularly when we started, there were a few digital agencies around, but a lot of the digital agencies still didn't understand the technology. And so we would often get called into projects where our clients just had this beautiful new website developed by some very talented graphic designers, and it doesn't convert visitors into leads. It doesn't load quickly at all. It doesn't rank well in search. And a lot of the times those issues were actually structural because we had graphic designers building these websites and there wasn't a lot you could do with it. Graphic designers now obviously have learnt a lot more of the skills needed, but back then, like, it was rare for a client to go somewhere and go, these guys understand the technical side and they understand how to make it pretty. Yep. And they understand what we're actually trying to achieve from a business sense. So packaging those three things up together allowed us to really have a bit of an edge. And so then when, as we were scaling the business up, you mentioned HubSpot before, we kind of identified HubSpot as a good fit for our needs. And then we really took the technology brains that we had and put them into the marketing and sales automation side, and really partnering with HubSpot enabled us to grow into a whole range of different areas.
That's an amazing story. Really great to hear how you've taken a problem out there that people are seeing and then turning it into your strength.
And it's amazing because people still have this issue sometimes, and some businesses, their approach is to have 18 different agencies that work on something, but then that always means that unless you've got very clearly defined roles between your agencies, somebody doesn't do something because they thought somebody else was doing it. And yep. But it also we've seen it change the profile of the job applicants that we're getting as well. Like, people come to us and go, hey, I'm working in this agency and they're doing a lot of these things, but I don't like being the only person that understands the technical side.
Yep.
I want to come somewhere where I'm with other nerds and we can talk together and we can talk about code or we can talk about this and that. And and I don't want to be a loner anymore. And so we're able to build our own tribe there where people can brag about the latest really weird, cool thing that they've automated. And, you know, it's cool because we're finding solutions to our problems. We're finding solutions to customer problems. We're automating things so that customers don't need to do them really. And our staff are getting a real buzz out of it.
And then I'm sure you're getting a buzz out of it too because you're around like-minded people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like for me it was when the team started coming to me and going, hey, here's a thing that you didn't ask us to do, but we found a pain point, we automated it, and I wasn't involved in the process at all. The first time that happened, I was like,
awesome.
This is amazing. Yeah. And so now, you know, now that it keeps happening and – you know, even the other day we had a HubSpot user group where one of our members of our team went through how we automate all of our service delivery, like our support tickets and things. One of our team was co-hosting that and she was looking at it and going, oh my God, I had no idea that this is how sophisticated it was in the back end. It's really impressive now. Like, yeah. But this is what we want to build for our clients. So we really have to make sure that we can do it for ourselves, experiment and develop on ourselves and then build that out for clients. So I've tried really hard to make sure that our team have got access to all the tools that they need, because I know when I've been with other employees in the past, if you don't have those toys, it becomes a bit frustrated. You feel like you're a bit hamstrung. So the team have got all the tools that they can possibly need to make basically anything. And that allows them to be a lot more innovative with what they're doing. They're using cutting edge technology every day. And so when they're talking to a customer, they're not recommending a solution. They're just getting excited about what can be done.
I love that. I think that's perfect for a perfect place to sit for you, for sure. In regards to success for you, Ryan, then how do you define success?
I think for us, first and foremost, it's customer results, it's client results. So, you know, if we're running an ad campaign, that's pretty easy to define. You know, you come back and you go, all right, well, this customer made a 30 times return on their investment this month. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'll take that bet any day of the week.
We have one client that we refer to as the money printing machine, because whenever we set up their campaigns and we run them, they make so much money off the back of them that it's crazy. But likewise, it's the feedback that we get. It's you know, the low staff turnover is a success factor. For our business, it's also being able to maintain our own growth trajectory. You know, I think a couple of years ago, we probably focused a little bit too much on what was happening to us and less about where we should be going. So we've been doing a lot of work on that with the Australian Centre for Business Growth, going through their courses at the moment just to try and really capitalise on what we can do there.
That's great.
We know where we're going. We know roughly how we're going to get there, and we're continuing to fill that out to sort of over the next 10 years.
And then what about personally for you? How do you measure your own personal success? So that was a lot about the business. What about you as a person? How do you measure that success?
I mean, for me, my key personal benchmark with the business is for it not to require me every day, all day, every day. I've got a young daughter now. I want to be around a bit. So it's really important to me, first and foremost, that the business doesn't rely on me, so that I can concentrate on business growth. But I can also – I hear people take these things called holidays. I've heard about them.
Yes. They're quite nice, Ryan.
Are they?
They're quite a bit of fun, yeah. if you set it up right. Trust me on that one.
So I've got a little taste through these retreats that I've been doing with EO, and it's nice to actually – step out of the office and clear my head and spend some time with my family and do that. So I guess it's weird because it's not like a financial metric or anything like that, but that's goal one. And when that's 100% achieved on a regular basis, then we can move on to the financial targets that we've got for the business, you know, next steps for me and things like that.
And with that growth comes a lot of challenges, especially personal growth as well, business growth. What are some of the challenges you've overcome yourself personally?
I mean, you get a lot of different things that come up, as I'm sure you're aware, and no one's really done it all before. there's people out there that will tell you, you know, what they think you should do, but it's really tricky to kind of piece that all together in the moment. The big one that a lot of small businesses tackle would be cash flow, and you know, it's more about just working out and approaching it systematically and not stressing about it. So like a good debtors process has really dealt with that problem for us. Really early on in the business, I had two other people that were coming on board as partners, and that didn't work out. They ended up running away together instead, which was an interesting challenge to deal with, because all of a sudden the work that was booked in for them is just there's no one around to deliver it. And I think that was... we worked really closely with our HubSpot rep at the time, and I think it was about 6 months later, we won the award for the fastest growing HubSpot partner in APAC. And he's like, look, Ryan, I can finally tell you that I thought that was the end. Mm-hmm. Like I thought you weren't going to come out to the other side of that, but it was methodical. It was getting the things done. It was, you can wallow in it if you want, but you've got to get on with it and do it. And for me, I had employees. I didn't feel like I could let them down. I needed to get on with the job at hand and get to the other side of it. And so we kind of went over a course of a couple of months. We went from a team of about 10 freelancers mostly to myself and one employee.
Yes.
So it just creates a huge stress on everybody involved. But then we rebuilt the business, and by the end of that year we were at about 6 or 7 employees. Telstra Business Awards finalist. We'd had quite a good turnaround really quickly. And I think that was more about just not giving up, keeping an eye on the prize, knowing what you can do, and you know, don't sook about it. Just get to the other side and work through it methodically. You know, you can go and drink beer and punch walls later if that's your thing, or you can whatever you want to do. But, you know, it's really about taking it and getting through it yourself.
That's inspiring there, Ryan. And from my point of view, I've seen quite a few businesses go through what you've described there, where partners drop out, people come and go, and you're right, people don't survive that. But I think you've done an amazing job there to be able to tackle that, overcome that hurdle, and then go from there to strength to strength to strength. So then what's the legacy you're looking to build out of all this? What are you trying to achieve?
There's probably two parts to that. So what we're doing with our clients is we're building their businesses. And so we're not just a marketing agency, we're working with them on a whole range of growth problems. So like one of our startup clients we've been working with for about 4 years, last month they hit break even for the first time. And like, what an amazing milestone that is. And just to see all of the sacrifices they made over that time, like that's hugely rewarding for the team. Okay, and I know that if you don't understand startups, maybe you don't understand what a big deal that is, but it's massive, right? So we want to continue to leave that kind of legacy on the clients that work with us. But I guess the other side is, so where our 10-year target is to build a 24/7 global marketing agency that's headquartered out of Adelaide. And so working with our US clients has sort of opened up a lot of sort of visibility over where our limitations are working with those international clients. It's worked out quite well because we can service them at night, particularly when there's big holidays and things. We can get them all deployed while America sleeps, and then they can run during the day and everybody has a party, and that's great. But ultimately then there's support that they need during their day that we want to build out. So we will always be headquartered in Adelaide. I'm really passionate about making sure that happens. But we will build these pockets of teams in two other time zones, so that we can actually service the whole world. We have clients in the UK now that we're servicing at night. The work delivery gets done during the day, but there's meetings at night. So by opening up those two other countries and really crossing the whole world's time zones, we'll be able to provide Australian companies with an advantage in international markets. And we'll also be able to provide those international markets with a trusted partner locally.
You spoke of a couple of times there about SA headquarters being very important to you. Why is that so important to you?
I've been based in Adelaide my whole life. I've done a fair bit of travel, and I feel like SA still is underrated on the world stage. I think people underestimate what can be achieved out of Adelaide. And so you go to these places and, you know, they're nice and, you know, it's a good place to be for a couple of weeks or whatever you're doing. But ultimately, Adelaide is where I want to be. Adelaide has been relatively kind to me over the years. I don't see any reason that we need to move from Adelaide to achieve what we want to achieve, because we're already doing a lot of this. So I think it's just good for the state to be able to see, like, South Australian companies can compete on the global stage. You can run a successful international business from Adelaide. And so for the next wave of entrepreneurs that are coming up, to start to think outside of the boundaries of the state, or for some of them, even like the city limits, understand the opportunity that's out there, understand the, you know, you can chase your ideal fit customer across country lines much easier than you've ever been able to before. My dad runs a business where his customers come to him and they have trucks. So their trucks, it's pretty hard to deal with an international client when you've got a physical thing that comes to you.
Yep.
So for him, the concept of having customers in the US that I've never actually visited, I've never shaken their hand, but we're running a successful business relationship, it blows his mind. But I think more and more for the wave after me of entrepreneurs, they'll be going, this is just what we want to do now. Yep. This is normal.
You know, why do you choose South Australia as the base? You know, where do you see the vision?
I think South Australia, it's my home first and foremost. It's where I've lived all my life. And so part of this is, we're based in Port Adelaide. For the last 20, 30 years, people have been saying, Port Adelaide's up and coming, and every few years there's a bit of a burst, but I can genuinely say at the moment it is definitely on the way up. So we've got this area which is kind of like, when we moved in there, because it was up and coming, obviously the rents were cheaper, which was a major appeal, but it fit with our brand because Port Adelaide was up and coming like we were at the time, it felt like, and we didn't have that many clients in Adelaide. So we didn't feel the need to go into the CBD. And the feedback that we started getting from clients was, you know, I love the fact that I can drive to your office and park at the front.
Yep.
You know, just little things like that. I love the fact that you're not in the city and everybody else is in the city. And so then when you get on a call with international clients, I basically feel like I'm working for the South Australian Tourism Commission sometimes, because I'm like, did you know that it took me 20 minutes to drive to work today, but if I'd gone the other direction 20 minutes, I could have gone to the Barossa and I could have gone to every winery I could possibly think of.
Yep.
And if I'd driven 45 minutes that way, I could have had every Riesling and white wine that I could have wanted in the hills. And people just like, what is going on here? Adelaide's like this magical place where dreams happen. Like, what is this lifestyle that you've got? So I love to tell that story because I'm proud of our state, right? And I know that that's not a lifestyle that most of our interstate and overseas clients can possibly enjoy. And they get very jealous. And I try to talk to them about moving here, and it's a bit of a push. But we have this multicultural team that's kind of emerged through just hiring the right person for the role. Yep. And so we've got this team of people that have chosen Adelaide. You know, they weren't brought up here. They've moved here in their adult years, and they've come from France, and they've come from England, and they've come from Brazil and all over the world. They've converged on Adelaide, and they help tell this story as well about the lifestyle that you can have in Adelaide. So I feel like, you know, we advertise this to our clients, but it's an easy, natural thing for us to be able to do because we just love it here. And so it's been easy for us to run the business from Adelaide on a global scale. I think it's easier for us to recruit talent because, to an extent, we're here. Like, we don't have the same population base as some of the other states. but we have a lifestyle that they can only dream about, really. So there's a bit more interest in moving over here as well.
That's great. So in that is, you know, South Australia, Adelaide proud. Who are you leaning on here in Adelaide? You know, for advice, who do you lean on for people anyway in regards to running your business and even yourself and your personal journey?
I haven't really had a mentor as I've gone through. I've had a few people that have sort of helped along the way, but I found different networks really helpful. So I joined Entrepreneurs Organization last year and I found that network really helpful, particularly the fact that they don't tell you what to do. They tell you what they have done in a similar situation. You learn from that. And being able to walk into a room with business owners, their businesses might be bigger or smaller, and be able to learn from what they're doing, I think that's really helpful. I've also found just there's this thing called the internet, right? And if you want to learn something, then you can go out there and find what other people have done. And particularly in our kind of industry, there's these pockets and most of them are in the US. So that's essentially how we opened up our US business, by finding that pocket and working with US agencies and working with people over there and learning from them. And I think we kind of learned as much from each other as everyone else did. But that opened up a pretty strong pipeline. And you know, the US is now a quarter of our revenue, which is pretty good to be able to say, and pretty good to grow over a short period, and yeah, really just learn from others that way.
So you spoke about networks there and how important they are for you and learning off them. You're part of the 39ers, a founding member of the 39ers. What are you learning from this group here?
Yeah, I think 39ers, it was really useful to join to really get more networks in my own state. Been so focused on other markets that I didn't know people who were down the road. And so it's really cool to get in the room. And I think first and foremost, something that people really overlook is the fact that it's sometimes nice to be able to talk to other business owners and either share your success in a way that if you're talking to people who aren't business owners, they might think you're bragging. Whereas in a network like the 39ers, people know how hard you've worked for that. It's not a brag, like it's a genuine achievement. But likewise, it's really powerful to be able to hear that other people are having the same problems as you. Like maybe the economy is average at the moment, which it is for a lot of us. Walking into the 39ers room and hearing people talk about their what they're doing in recruitment at the moment, because recruitment is a challenge at the moment. So I think first and foremost, from a network perspective, that is really helpful. The team at the 39ers, led by Kate Earl, needed to get that plug in, Kate Earl. They do a great job of trying to identify events, learning opportunities, things like that. So being able to hear people speak and learn from their experience as well is also quite interesting. But the things that people are doing, like the businesses in the 39ers, the things that they're doing and the things that they're achieving are incredible. And it's really cool to be able to be part of it, to be doing something for our state, but also just have some other networks that you can lean on to help you with this journey.
You are right with Kate and what she does there with the team and how they set up a good program with that. Part of that is also having a bit of a voice to certain people here in South Australia. What's the actual thing that we should be talking about? What are the opportunities that we should be talking about here in South Australia at that higher level, the government level? What should we be talking about there?
It's a really interesting one that we've been working through at the moment with the Northern Territory government.
Yep.
So the Northern Territory government have got this concept of Territory Proud and Territory Enterprise. And we're actually finding now that some programs that we used to be a part of, we're kind of getting locked out now because we've been unable to recruit staff up there. But meanwhile, like in South Australia, we don't have that same level of parochialism when it comes to our government tenders and things like that. And there was a big tender for our industry recently that went out to a private tender and went out to a couple of multinationals without the locals getting an opportunity to tender. I think the government, if they're serious about growing small business and medium business in this state, and they should be wanting to work with those businesses that are South Australian headquartered, that are growing employment in the state, and that means providing them with an equal opportunity to get involved in tenders for a start. South Australian government is, for us, South Australian government is one of the biggest spenders of marketing and advertising in the state. And so if they can beyond their current providers and take things out to market, I think they'll find that they'll get a better bang for buck and they'll get more tax dollars staying within their own state.
And then they'll get it back, won't they?
Exactly. That's the whole concept, right?
Keep it within, spend local, stays local.
I mean, and our role here is to train these marketers who will eventually probably at some point in their career, go to join the SA Tourism Commission, who have a 50-strong marketing team. They'll go to join these other government departments, but they need to have the opportunity to work somewhere first and upskill. So if the government want to deal with the brain drain, they want to deal with upskilling and employment opportunities, tenders are a big place to start.
That's great to hear. Great to hear you voice your opinion on that, Ron. So we'll go to the billboard question that we set up previous to this conversation. If you could have a gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, getting a message out to millions or billions of people, what would you put on it?
Now, you wanted me to put "I love Tim Lavis," didn't you?
That's correct.
Right?
I did want that. However, there's a vote of no confidence on that one I'm hearing from quite a few of my interviewees.
I heard Kate had a different opinion on that, so we're not that?
No, we're not doing that one.
All right.
No?
I think sometimes you just need to hear a little piece of confidence, just particularly if you're in a funk. So you can do it, like as simple as that. And, you know, there is so many people around that will be thinking they can't see that billboard and be like, you know what, I can, nice and simple.
Keep it simple. You can do it. Where have you needed to hear that message there, Ron?
I mean, every time there's, I say sometimes like your entrepreneurial journey is like the 90s song, the 90s Chumbawamba classic hit, "I get knocked down, but I get up again," right? And I'm sure in the edit we can chuck in that a little sample from that. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. But, you know, you have days where you get knocked down, but, you know, if you remember that you can do this, it's temporary, it'll pass. You can get back up again and you can do it. You know, you probably see online there's all these graphs and things of the entrepreneurial journey and they're like a sine wave, right? Yep. And not everything is going to go your way. So you just need that bit of a reminder that it's going to pass and it's going to be good.
That's fantastic advice, Ron. Thank you. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Is there anything else you want to talk about today?
I don't think I'm contractually obliged to talk about anything else from a 39ers perspective. but I should take this opportunity to just do a final plug for our conference, Digital Adelaide.
Great. So what is this conference that you've got going on?
So Digital Adelaide is a conference that my friends Robina and Jen and I run. And we've grown that over the last, next year's the 10th anniversary. We're excited about that.
Great.
Grown that over the last 10 years to be Adelaide's biggest marketing event. We've just broken our ticket holder record for this year, which is great.
Fantastic.
So we're going to have about 230 marketers at the National Wine Centre. And unlike a lot of conferences, some conferences, it's a mostly case study orientated content. So we've got Sealink Travel Group, we've got Journey Beyond, we've got some government departments. People are all talking about projects where they've gone through and start to finish, executed successfully, and really just try and help the audience understand how they can adopt these projects. So anyone who's working in marketing in the state should definitely come along, and we're doing our part to try and, again, train Adelaide's marketers and grow the marketing industry in Adelaide.
Are you going to be speaking at that event?
I am. I got a last-minute call up because a speaker dropped out, and so I'm bowing to public pressure because I had multiple requests. And I am going to do a session all on ChatGPT.
Fantastic.
And using artificial intelligence to help you with every aspect of your marketing.
I'm sure that's going to be well received. That is hot, hot topic at the moment, hot trend, AI, ChatGPT, how to use that in marketing, how to use that in your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really interested in that myself, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting along.
Buy a ticket, Tim.
Yes. Hopefully KL can sort that out for us. So, Ryan, thank you very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. Learned a lot about you, learned a lot about Refuel Creative, and it's just been an absolute delight to have you on today. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
If you found this episode valuable, be sure to subscribe and stay updated whenever we post new episodes. Stay tuned on our socials for more captivating interviews, intriguing insights, and thought-provoking discussions. Together, let's navigate the ever-evolving world of business in South Australia. I'm Tim Lavis. Until next time, drive the change.